talk less, smile more. Don't let them know what you're against or what you're for. So we had an idea to start off by singing Hamilton.
You had the idea.
That is a correct statement. I had the idea. And then I was like, you know what? We can't actually play the recording and sing to it over it because that'll get picked up by a copyright. And so I was just going to explain. Yeah. Well, what they'll do is, like, technology is so crazy. Every sound pattern is like a fingerprint, kind of. And so they upload these song fingerprints to this database that scans every recording before it comes out. And so if it picks up that fingerprint of Hamilton soundtrack, then it'll take our podcast offline. So that's why I sang really bad the Aaron Burr song while we started. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Daddy Daughter Podcast. I'm here with my silent partner today, who's been smiling and, you know, throwing a stuffed strawberry around all opening of this podcast. But would you like to say anything?
Hey.
Star of the show. The star of the show doesn't have to speak until she feels like speaking. And that's the truth. Man, we are on season 2, episode 8. And isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
Yeah. You just had... Okay, quick. Because we're going to do a show at the in 2 weeks. We're going to do kind of more of a full-on therapy recap. But last week's episode was you're going to start therapy this week. Yesterday you started it, and then you painted, and it was incredible. And tell me something about it.
So yesterday it was my first therapy session. I have it every Wednesday, or every week on Wednesdays. And then... So when I got out of therapy, Dad, I came into his room and he was listening to music and
rap music,
doing whatever he was doing, doing whatever work. And I came
specifically
in.
It was Kid Cudi and Eminem. I just want to let y'all know that it was incredible. The new album, that little mini album they did, is incredible. Okay, go ahead.
So I came into his room and he looked at me. He was like, "You're so light. You feel so light." Mm-hmm. And then he was like, "You should paint right now."
Right now.
And then I started painting. I got, like, the base down, like, the background color. And then you went to a meeting, and so you didn't see, like, the process of what I did.
Yeah.
And so I painted, and then you came out once I was doing, like, the last few touch-ups to the painting. And then you were going into another meeting.
Yes, meetings all day.
And so you saw, like, a glance of it. You didn't see the full thing or, like, in its completed state. And so when you came out of the last meeting, you looked at it and before you were going into your second meeting that night, I showed you the painting and you're like,
"Quick glance.
That's how you feel?
That's how we feel. That's what we're doing?" Really?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. All right. Wow.
And then he came out and he was done with meetings for the night and he saw my painting.
Yeah.
He really liked it, took a picture of it, posted it on Instagram. So follow my dad.
Yeah, at Joel David Barnes.
Yeah, and now, see the painting.
Now, what's also really interesting is seconds before we hit record today, I got a friend of mine, Jennifer Aguilera. She commented and she goes, "She's so talented. Are you guys, is she selling art?" And I didn't tell you that part. You were allowed to make some sort of noise so people can hear the shock and the awe on your face. And she goes, Are you selling art yet? Or something. And I said, "Don't worry, it's on the way. Working on a little family business right now." And so, literally, because that's something that we have started to engage in this week a little bit more intentionally. Ordered some supplies for you to, I just realized the air's still on, because it just went off. Anyways, ordered some supplies for you to start producing paintings and artwork because you want to participate in
The lemonade stand.
The lemonade land.
Lemonade land.
That's right. Lemonade land. So, and what that is a friend of mine, Timo and Shelly, Kiles, have put together, they live on a property that has a lot right next door that's been abandoned, and no one's used the land for as many years as they've had their house there. And so they just decided to, you know, go to the powers that be and say, hey, we're going to do a little pop-up shop every other Saturday on that space. We're going to promote black businesses. We're going to promote community. We're going to promote the neighborhood and start to invest. Well, actively do something to invest in their specific communities, and facilitate conversation and facilitate growth and facilitate entrepreneur spirit in that space and in that time. So there's one that's happening this Saturday, actually. If you would like to know more information, I'd love for you to shoot me an email, joel@wehavetoshare.com. joel@wehavetoshare.com. And you can shoot me information and I can tell you where it's at, but I'm going to look it up real quick online. The Lemonade Land, you can follow them on Instagram @TheLemonadeLand. And it is the address is right here, 6700 South Dorchester Avenue. So this Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., the pop-up market Side Hustle Saturdays is happening at the Lemonade Land from 2 o'clock to 6 p.m., 6700 South Dorchester Avenue. There are a ton of awesome businesses that are already signed up. We missed the cutoff. This is their second time doing it. We already missed the cutoff for signing up to participate this Saturday. But in 2 weeks, on August 1st, we're participating. And that's what we're starting to build an inventory to do right now. Tell me a little bit about that. What's your idea behind that?
So I have these two. I actually have three pieces of art relating to like Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter movement. I made two signs to bring to a protest that we were planning on going, but we weren't able to go.
Yeah.
And so I made those for the protest, but we weren't able to go.
Yeah.
And so I'm making more of the Black Lives Matter posters that I have. You can see them on my... No, you didn't post it.
You know what?
My Instagram, but
yeah,
it's private.
Oh yeah, I know your Instagram is private and it's gonna stay private for a little while. Mm-hmm. But we're working on part of this project that we're working on is to build out an Instagram for your artwork and this little family business that mm-hmm. we're gonna start. And do you want to tell people the name yet, or do you want to wait?
We'll wait.
Okay, we're gonna wait. But if you are interested in purchasing one of these Black Lives Matter signs, again, email joel@wehavetoshare.com, but promise that pictures are coming. Give us till August, by August 1st. Of course, we'll have plenty of pictures up by then, and the Instagram will be live by then. And we're going to be participating in this festival, in this, outdoor lemonade shop, community effort, to get involved. And that is a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about today. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time today. You know, what we want to do is we want to start this conversation. We don't want this to be the end of the conversation. But today, in the car, when we're driving to this random appointment that I had today, you started saying... Well, tell me what you started saying. Well, how'd you bring it up? Do you remember?
I asked if there were any more planned protests happening in Chicago. And you said... or I asked you if you knew of any.
Right.
So that doesn't mean there aren't, but
right.
You said you didn't know of any. And then I brought up the fact that, like, so I'm on TikTok and on Instagram, and a lot of, like, when everything was really at its peak,
mm-hmm.
like when the passing of George Floyd,
mm-hmm.
when that happened, everything started to like peak and protests, more and more protests started to happen. Like all I would see on my For You page on TikTok and my stream on Instagram was Black Lives Matter related. And I had no problem with that, you know, like I was happy that people are spreading awareness and like and posting things on their story, posting things as actual Instagram posts. And same thing with TikTok, posting videos about Black Lives Matter related things, and like changing your profile to the Black Fist. You know, I thought that it was really powerful, but like, then I asked you if it's, or
I think you were just like, and I said, my response to, were there any planned protests coming up soon? Because you still have wanted to participate in a protest. And I'll say that the problem that we had during the protest that we knew that we were able to get to, I could not. I was in so much pain. My knee was in so much pain that particular day. I guess the meniscus had slipped. And I just could not walk 25 blocks one direction and 25. So it's all my fault. My kid wanted to do it. I could not do it. But
it's not your fault.
Well, it's in, yeah, well, okay, fair. But it was not because of, you know, anything frivolous. It was literally I thought through your mom going and then maybe you going with someone else. And then at the same time, I wanted to make sure that I was there to be with you because the uncertainty of some things. And so anyways, what we did, we made a pretty decent effort to get to one, could not. But I told you even then, I said, don't worry, kid. We're in this for the long haul. Don't worry. There will be ways to participate. Since then, we've had your, you know, you wrote that poem that has been shared with our church, been shared with your classmates, you know. So a couple things that I want to make sure that you understand and stay encouraged on. A, this ain't over, period. We're just getting started. This has moved and shifted your spirit, and we're going to stay on that because no matter what is going on in the world, if it's in the headlines or not, this is an injustice that we are called to fight. This is an injustice that we're called to speak into, and we will continue, I promise. Two, you are witnessing what happens with an aggregate society, a big, in a society, people will, first of all, when matters like this flare up, it's like kind of a tidal wave, right? And in the tidal wave, you are experiencing heightened emotions, you know, very strong opinions, very passionate people. That spilled over into violence in some situations, which again, we don't condone, but heightened emotions created a very heightened response. And that response caught the national media and it was covered and there were marches every weekend and those things were being covered. And then at the same time, they're also being covered because we're standing in a space where national leadership is not even addressing it or only knocking, you know, the looting and the violence like spin-offs, but they're not addressing the issue. And so that also created more tension. That tension gets covered. Those kind of things get picked up by the media. The media and the news and the things that we consume and see are always going to be the things that are the most stressful, talked about, highest level, dramatic, right? Because like I was telling you, those things fuel participation in that medium. So there are clicks, there are likes, there's like you and I talked about earlier today, that you understand clickbait. You have a really funny clip or title and someone clicks it because it's a funny title, and whether or not it's is as representative of that specific story or not, it got you to participate. It got you to clickbait. And so that's not our car, right? Anyways, I just want to make sure I didn't set off the alarm. Anyways, the point is it's not over. And then the way that I shifted, but what we have to understand, we just have to understand the way that people and trends and media and these things work. There you go. And you said, and when I said that there were no planned protests this weekend, you said, but it's not over. And you didn't say it that quite that dramatic. You kind of said it like this, but it's not over.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you kind of did say it like that. No, I didn't. Because it was super cute. I remember it. It was burned in my memory. No, remember, I have a photographic recorder of a brain.
This is exactly what I said and how I said it.
Okay.
But it's not over.
Oh.
That's how I said it.
Great.
That's how I said it.
You know what? I'm going to accept that entry. I said it with
confidence and not like...
I'm going to accept that into the record. Okay? Your Honor, for the record, she said... But it's not over.
I didn't say
close. No. Well, you say it again. Say it the way you said it.
But it's not over.
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 But it's not over. Okay? That's the point. And that's actually now the title of this recording. But it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's still injustice. There's still things that you and I had also a whole another conversation. I wish that sometimes we could just follow, like walk around with professional recording equipment, because that conversation we had to that appointment was incredible. And then the one we had on the way back about the history and how we got here. Because I think that one thing that I noticed is you know about police brutality because it's in the media.
Yeah.
You've heard of that. That is a very relevant thing. Two, it's also, you're also realizing that it's not over because of your proximity to the situation.
Yeah.
Proximity to the situation, meaning because you're my kid and I'm passionate about it, you're passionate about it. So you still hear it. It's still in your news cycle, right? But there are so many people in the world that have participated, you know, and great, and all the TikToks and all the, you know, IG lives and all the protest footage and all the Black Lives Matter posts, all that's important and all that matters, but because proximity to that situation doesn't exactly exist for a lot of people, you have to understand, there's a lot of people that don't interact with Black people or brown people in a day. There's a lot of Black people that don't interact with white people in a day. There's a lot of brown people that don't interact with either in a day. A lot of people stay in their bubbles, stay in their communities, stay in their neighborhoods. I know that for me, when I grew up, there's the majority of the people in my neighborhood didn't leave my neighborhood. We didn't need to leave my neighborhood. We just interacted with, our school was there, basketball courts were there, the YMCA was there, the corner store was there. So we kind of had everything we needed yeah. there. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, and for days on end, we wouldn't leave that until we needed, you know, groceries or something like that. And so, and not necessarily, I wasn't allowed to go to the corner store. My mom was very specific. Because the corner store for us was not a good place. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, you know, it was like, yeah, it just wasn't a good spot. Anyways, but point is, there are people in this whole story, and part of the reason why it's been able to fall off the radar is because it has not been part of people's proximity. They haven't been close to the problem. If you are passionate about a problem, if you are, I heard this today on the Enlace Pot Facebook Live show, and it was so good. It was like, it was Ron Bueno's daughter being interviewed by Ron Bueno's wife, Michelle Bueno, who is the director of communications for Enlace, and her daughter has been working with Enlace this summer. And by the way, it felt like, wow, I get to look at what my daughter could be like in the future. That's like watching Michaela Bueno was like, this is how Hannah's gonna be. This is how she's gonna talk. Like, it was incredible. But one of the things that either Michaela or her friend Sophie said was proximity. You have to be close to the people you want to serve.
Yeah.
If you say and believe something, you have to be close to that issue to understand it, to feel it, to be compassionate about it, to be empathetic. Empathy can only be derived from understanding what someone's going through. Because if you don't understand what they're going through and you feel for them, that's called compassion. That's being compassionate about somebody. That's sympathy. Sympathy is being able to say, oh, you know, over in Inglewood, they have a crime problem, and I care about that, and I want to donate to that. Empathy would be going to Inglewood and figuring out what do y'all need? What do we need as brothers and sisters in this space? What can we do here? And so there's a difference there. And you have empathy because this issue is in your life. And so then I presented the question, what now? So what are you going to do? And what are we going to do? And you don't have to have the complete answer. It's something to think about. But now, what do you want to do? Part of you participating in this Lemonade Land project is part of that. So explain that, and then explain what you want to do with your art and how you want to participate. What do you want to do?
So like you just said, I want to spread my art, and like that's part of the reason why we're making an Instagram, is so I can spread my art, and whether it's like about Black Lives Matter or a different cause, you know, like make art that represents either like unity or like bringing people together.
Yeah.
And spreading awareness just to the fact that these injustices are happening with like racism against Black people now, and just to like let people know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
And we can do this together, you know, and that's part of the reason why like all these protests are happening, like with all these people like joining together during these protests. And that's what I want to represent in my art, and just to spread that message.
Yeah.
Is
and
important.
That it's not over.
Yeah.
And that we're not done.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that needs to be a t-shirt that I design. I told you that I've been kind of working on a family business. And one of the things that I've been doing is kind of tracking down messages, slogans, sayings, and maybe you could paint something that says, it's not over, we're not done, or it's not over, or it's not, we're not done, or something. Because I think that message is very important. It's very important after the tsunami of information, after the tsunami of passion for anything that we believe in, to make sure that people understand, hey, look, we're not done. We got a long way to go. We got a lot of conversations to have. We have a lot of sit down, talk to each other, figure out how to get on each other's side. And that's the difference, is that, you know, what has happened and what's happening in the United States right now, it's so sad to me, because I can sit back and watch people figure out how to legitimize their opinions and double down and dig in on their side. And that does not bring people together.
Yeah.
Not considering what's happening in someone else's life does not bring you together.
Yeah.
Justifying it, listening to who, and the problem with the world right now is that we're so packed full of opinions that and everyone has one, and there are so many opinions, there's so many elevations of opinions, there's so many people with high followings that have so many opinions that you could literally figure out, how do you want to feel safe or comfortable in your own opinion? Track down that person, listen to them say your opinion, and hide behind someone else's speaking of your opinion, because you can find it. If you want to be a white American and find a Black American that thinks what white Americans think, you can find that person and have that opinion. If you want to be a Black American and find a white American that is going to say what Black people think or represent that opinion, you can do that. So what you literally can do in this metamorphosis of communication, this chameleon of communication that we have in the world. That's why I tell you, you got to be very specific about what you allow to go in. You have to ask the questions about what goes in.
Yeah.
You have to ask the questions. Hey, just like you did today. Hey, why aren't there protests? Because it's not over. We're not done.
Yeah.
And then try to understand and wrap your brain around the way the world works, why people would not want to represent this opinion anymore, yeah. Why this opinion was very uncomfortable for people. Why are there people that are literally saying things that are contrary and contradicting to their own liberties, their own freedom to mm-hmm. get popular, to get famous? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is all that stuff happening? Why is there so much dissension? Why are there people? And that's part of the reason why I said that I wanted to sit down and study the history and make sure that we're good, we're firm, at least in the history and the understanding of how do you get to a place where, you know, where you even have to say that a certain type of people matters.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you even get there? And people are not interested in doing that work because you know what? That is not the spoon fed, cookie cutter, easy road. That's the road that says, I actually have to make up my own mind based on doing a little bit of work and digging. And it's just not going to pop up as a Facebook ad and yeah. an opinion that I can adapt my yeah. own. You actually have to ask some more questions. So why would you even get to a point why is it even contradictory? Why could there even be an All Lives Matter side? Like you said in your poem, all lives can't matter until Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And that's not a controversial statement.
Yeah.
That's what's so powerful about this time. That's what's so polarizing about that time. It is not a controversial statement that says a group of people matters. It's not detracting from anything else. It's not taking away the mattering of anybody else.
And by saying Black Lives Matter, it's not saying only Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, duh.
It's saying that Black Lives Matter right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, racism is real and racism happens.
Yep.
If it's against Hispanic people, Asian people,
yep.
Black people right yep. now in yep. this moment,
yeah.
Black lives matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people who say all lives matter, like, I don't think fully understand that. And they are set in their ways and kind of have to open their mind up
yeah.
to other people's opinions because there was like there was an episode we talked about opinions
yeah
in like season one, I think, I can't remember which episode, but yeah. we talked about opinions and how if you have an opinion you don't always share it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone believes all lives matter, you don't like go to a protest supporting Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. and like have a sign saying all lives matter,
right?
You know, like,
'cause there's a time and place to respectfully voice your opinion.
Yeah.
And part of that is sometimes when you're asked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And sometimes you need to be open to other people's opinions. And to the people who say all lives matter, I feel like that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Because they need to listen to other people's sides.
Yeah.
And listen to other people.
Yeah.
You know, because that would change how they understand
the perception. Absolutely. Would be shifted. And, you know, and again, and we'll say it again, we support. Now, here's the thing. There are differences. And when I told you we're going to do some research, there's, you know, Black Lives Matter became an organization. It was a movement, a word, a phrase that, you know, started around the killing of Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin, and those, and that series of words was a movement, and a powerful movement, and has been a powerful movement since then.
Yeah.
That what has happened is there has been a group of people that has, you know, copywritten the term Black Lives Matter, incorporated under the banner of Black Lives Matter, but that's not where the term started. That's not where mm-hmm. that cry started. That's not where that movement started. And so now there's an organization, and organizations of people can make mistakes and make missteps. And I'm sure that they have, and I don't have all the information around it. And I'm positive that at some point that someone was donating to Black Lives Matter, the organization. And at some point, you know, it got a little bit more because organization came around it and business was involved in it or nonprofit was involved in it or whatever. There became different ways to dispute it. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And maybe there have been missteps with an organization. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that the words are still true. I can tell you that the words "all lives matter" are still true. I can tell you that the spirit that "all lives matter" is delivered in is a spirit of dissension. And the spirit of defense and the spirit of deflection. And the reason why I say those things is because if I felt like this was if people were not being combative with this particular, this contrary movement, if the goal was to actually unify, then all lives matter people would have started by saying all lives can't matter till Black Lives Matter, because that is a effort to unify people, and it is not. It has been something to hide behind. It has been something to make this Black Lives Matter movement look bad because they're just focused on black people. Like, it is more than just black people. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't die for just black people. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Jesus fought injustice. He fought tyranny. He fought systemic racism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, these are the things that Jesus fought for. So if those things are being, if that fight is happening, then, and it flies under the banner of Black Lives Matter now, and that revolutionary kind of mindset needs to happen in order to get people to a place to reconsider. I think that it has become so polarized that it's flown right over the heads of most of the people that actually need to hear it and reconsider. Just reconsider. Just stop and think. And try to create more proximity around healing. That proximity around the fact that, you know what, maybe you haven't been right this whole time. Maybe it's been passed on down through the generations that you think something that you didn't even realize was there, and you got to go get it and pull the weed out. And that's the work that makes me scared that people aren't willing to do that work. And that after this wave, it seems like people are still in their corners.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be in the corners. We're not going to be on any side unless it's the side of truth. We're not going to chase anything unless it's chasing justice.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to participate in anything unless it's sanctioned by what, if it's something that God would do himself when he was on earth. That's what we're going to do, because that's how we can filter out the sides, the prejudice, the racism on both sides, on our sides, on all sides, the racism in America. And that's how we can navigate it. That's how we can stay true to the cause. But for this particular thing, we will support Black Lives Matter as a movement. And you said the other day that with some of your art, you want to donate some of the proceeds.
Yeah.
And you said specifically you want to donate some of the proceeds to Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was my response to that?
To look more into it.
Yeah. Not just to look more into it, but what can we also do here locally?
Oh, to support black-owned businesses.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah, and maybe Lemonade Land. I think that might have been how we got on the participating in Lemonade Land.
No, I think the way we started that conversation, donating mm-hmm. proceeds.
It was because of the thinking about selling it there.
Yep.
Got it. So then so my thing is, I want you to know that it's not over. Mm-hmm. We're not done. As you know, you've told me that already. We're not done. But what I also want you to know is we're going to start with us first. We're going to start with getting ourselves educated. first, being responsible for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I am responsible for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure that you are educated. I'm going to make sure that I am educated. I'm going to make sure that our hearts are true here first. And then the next thing we're going to do is we're going to take a step outside of us to the people that are immediately around us, conversations that we'll have with your mom, maybe even Papu, and who knows? You know what I'm saying? And continue to spread some of the things that we know and love and learn to even like my brother and sister and brother and mom down in Florida. But we're going to take our next step outside of us, and then we're going to take a step into our community, and then we're going to take another step into our community, and we're going to grow. Transformation is going to need to happen in this thing from the inside out. And that's how we're going to work on it. That's how we're going to attack this thing. And we're never going to be done. I'll tell you that right now. It's not going to be a system that fixes itself overnight. The roots are so deep, and we've just got a lot of work to do. But we're going to create. We're going to, just like Soul City wants to do and be the bridge, we are going to actively participate in being the bridge. But the first step is going to start with us and our participation and our dollars going to support Black entrepreneurs and systems that can help to improve quality of life in Black neighborhoods, so that we can start to chip away at some of these big institutions, these deep-seated brokenness that exists even in Black neighborhoods. One thing and the last thing that I'll speak on today. I didn't even realize I had this much to say, but talking to you is what does it. The last thing I'll say is that there's people that will say, how can Black Lives Matter if Black on Black crime is so high? And it breaks my heart, because it's another deflection. It's another way of hiding behind having to take responsibility. But I can tell by your eyes that you're kind of curious about this too. There has been, in some of these neighborhoods, in some of this space where there's crime, there's been so much poverty. There's been so much time spent not knowing what the way out was, not having an opportunity. And here's the thing, I can tell you from living it. I'm not one of these people that's like, they kill themselves, whatever, I don't want to hear Black Lives Matter until they stop killing themselves. That infuriates me, because it shows a lack of compassion. Because if you really were to think about it, imagine having crime. It's not Black on Black crime. It's people on people crime in these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
It's the people that live here fighting over territory to sell their product, their merchandise. And as sometimes the only way, sometimes, not always, but sometimes the only way that this culture, these neighborhoods know how to survive, know how to provide, have an opportunity, have a leg up, have a way to participate, provide for the family, provide for, and so that participation in that crime escalates over territories and yada, yada. And to be honest with you, you cannot understand it unless you really, really understand it. Get there, understand it, study it, get to know it. But it's not, when that happens in, when the mob goes after another, territory, or a Mexican cartel goes after another territory, it's not called Mexican on Mexican crime. It's not called, Italian on Italian crime. Even the way we speak about these things are problematic.
Yeah.
They rest so deep in our soul as a country. But we're quick to point out like, oh, it can't matter. But that's not true. Black lives can matter. And we can fight against injustice, redlining, police brutality, crime in our neighborhoods, not Black on Black crime, crime in our neighborhoods. And there is so much work to do, but imagine how frustrating, imagine how heartbreaking it has to be in these neighborhoods, to not be involved in crime, to just be not afford living somewhere else. To be in these neighborhoods, be susceptible to the crime, not participate in the crime, and then not just worry about people that are committing the crimes, but then also sometimes worry about the people that are there to protect you.
Yeah.
Imagine being scared of kind of everybody. and not knowing where to turn. And so that's where my heart goes. My heart goes to the people that are the majority of the people in these neighborhoods that are not involved in crime, that are trying to survive, that don't have the resources, that don't own their house, that don't have an education that's equal to someone on the north side of Chicago that is right. The education just is night and day. And we've let that be okay. We've let that be okay. And then we've pointed the finger back at the people. Your education and your situation wasn't the same as mine, and shame on you for it. That's terrible. And so these are the conversations that I want to make sure that I'm having with you. This is the education that I want to make sure that is able to be buried inside of you, and the experiences that are able to be buried inside of you that can actually give you that empathy. Today we talked about the fact that, you know, 100 years ago, the fact that you have 25% black in you would have disqualified you from most rights in America. Mm-hmm. Because you had more than a drop of blood, drop of black blood, you were considered impure. You, my kid, who walks around as a beautiful, darker skinned white girl, you know what I'm saying, would have experienced a completely different reality 100 years ago. And not even 100 years ago, 60 years ago. And so I want to make sure that your proximity stays as close as it needs to be for us to continue to have empathy and compassion in this space. And I love your heart for justice. I love what God's doing inside of you. What the fact that I came in there to you making these signs. You were making the signs before you even knew where and if and how we could protest. You know what I'm saying? And I want to continue to fan that flame and continue to bless that inside of you. But I feel like I've talked a lot, and I want you to say a couple more things as we sign this out.
I heard this thing, like, there was this, I forgot where it was from, and I forgot who said it, but there was this thing where I think it was a video on TikTok, but it was this woman, so she was playing, not an actress, but in TikTok you can have like a green screen, and so on the green screen it was a house on fire.
Oh yeah.
And there was like two people in the video.
Yeah.
And one person, or the first person, said, "My house is on fire. My house is on fire. Help me." And then the other person said, "But what about my house?"
Right.
What about my house?
Right.
And the other person was like, "But my house is on fire."
Right.
And the other person, the second person's house was completely fine. Not on fire. Perfectly fine. Yeah. No flooding. Nothing.
Yeah.
But they said, "What about my house?"
Right.
"My house still matters."
Right. All houses matter.
Yeah, all houses matter.
Right.
And that was relating to people who say all lives matter.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what's happening.
Yeah.
A person's house is on...
The insensitivity. You're not even willing to think about the fact that my house is on fire?
Yeah.
You don't even want to think about it?
Yeah.
You just want to defend houses?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so...
Cool.
Like, that's basically what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like a house being on fire and another person asking, "What about my house?"
Yeah.
Or "What's going to happen to my house?"
Yeah.
All houses matter.
Right.
And like, yeah, it just.
It framed it for you.
Yeah.
It allowed you to understand it. And that was probably happening in 15 seconds. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was a TikTok, right?
Yeah.
So 15 or 60 seconds. But I think that's incredible. And I think that it's very interesting that your generation can receive tidbits of truth that fast. But I also want to push you into thinking about the fact that, look, the house is still on fire. Maybe the media has gone away, but the house is still on fire.
Mm-hmm.
The house needs to be put out. The house needs to be rebuilt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there's work to be done. There's still work to be done. And there's going to be work. There's going to be significant work to be done in this space for a long time. And I just want to continue to bless you as you navigate through that and hope that we always have a safe space to talk about it. And I don't think that I'm always right about all the things.
Yeah.
I just have a responsibility as your dad to understand how to lead you into justice. And like I said, my way is not my way. My way is to, hey, let's figure out what the Bible says about it. Let's figure out what Jesus would do. That's why I have the "What Would Jesus Do" tattoo, because I don't want to know what Joel would do. You know what I'm saying? Because Joel might catch an attitude. Joel might be wrong. And so my only desire is to lead us spiritually towards the heart of God, to find out what God would do. Where would God be in this whole thing, right? And so, and after studying it and listening to it, I can tell you, God would not ignore this. His argument would not be for all men, because his argument has never been for all lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to hear me when I say that. That's a very powerful statement. God's argument has never been, everybody is going to need to hear what I have to say. His argument has always been, those who seek me, those who desire the truth, those who need me, the outcasts, the vagrants, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. That's where you found Jesus. You found him sitting on the ground with people that were not represented in society. And then you had society. You had the Pharisees, you had the church at the time, the people, the mm-hmm. Bible scholars at the time, looking to him saying, look at him, he's sitting with all the terrible people. Gross. How could the king of the universe, the son of God, sit with these people? I don't even understand it. And guess what that sounds like? Sounds like all lives matter, people, to me. Because it's not... It is ignoring the fact that there's an issue. It's ignoring the fact that Jesus modeled going to people that needed him, talking to people that needed him. He even said one time, I don't have a desire to talk to the Pharisees because you guys have it all figured out. In other words, you have it all figured out. Those that you've got it all figured out, you're not seeking truth. That's not who the message is for in the first place.
Yeah.
You've got to seek it. You've got to desire it. And I love that you're seeking it. And I love that you're desiring it. And I promise that we will stay on that path together.
Okay.
And we're going to start a little business. And August 1st, we're going to be at Lemonade Land. All right. One last shout out for Lemonade Land. Lemonade Land. Why is that so hard to say?
Lemonade Land.
Killed it. This July 18th and again on August 1st, July 18th, Saturday, July 18th. Actually, I'm going to record it so that I can send this video to Timo and Shelly. Does that sound good? You think they're going to love it?
Yeah.
All right, guys. This August 18th, 6700 South Door. I'm talking loud for the podcast. Let's start that over. What's up, guys? No, I'm not recording at all. What's up, guys? This July 18th, 6700 South Dorchester, we are going to go to Lemonade Land, and we're going to support our friends, the Keylace, who are supporting Black-owned businesses. They're providing a space, a bit of an incubator, positivity space, a space for people to come and sell and have their side hustle Saturdays going on. We love them. We love what they're doing. They're investing in their neighborhood, and we planned on being there to support that effort. And we challenge you to show up, 6700 South Dorchester, this Saturday, July 18th. The time is from 2 to 6 p.m. If you want to follow the Lemonade Land, follow them at The Lemonade Land on Instagram. And you can get more information and see more pictures and have an idea of what you're going to walk into, which is going to be dope. So be there or be square. All right. That was random. Did I sound like I was a commercial guy? I think sure. I have a great face for radio. Anyways, child, I would love it if you prayed this out because I've talked too much.
All right. Dear Lord, I want to pray for every single person listening right now, and I pray that they can gain wisdom from our podcast, or gain information from our podcast, or useful information at least. And I pray that they like our podcast, and I pray that you I pray that you help anybody who's feeling down right now, or just needs help in their life right now, and I pray that you give that to them and put your angels around them. And I pray that anyone who goes to Lemonade Land on July 18th has fun. And I pray that we are able to sell some good stuff on August 1st.
Yeah.
And I pray that you just keep all of us safe. In your name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Daddy Daughter Podcast. My kid is so cute and so excited that we get to go to Target now. But this has been the Daddy Daughter Podcast. We appreciate you guys. God bless. Any inquiries, send them to joel@wehavetoshare.com. And I'll be sure to get back to you. If you want us to promote your item, pay us. We'll do it. Maybe. But yeah, we're looking for sponsorship opportunities. And we want to grow this and keep working this way. We're starting this family business. And it's probably going to start here with this conversation. And get this conversation out into the world. Some art out into the world. And create. Exist as a family. And do all the things. So if you're interested, hit us up. We are interested in working with people. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. We love you.
And we'll talk to you soon.